Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, and you are listening to a special installment of the program today. I'm not going to call this an episode because this isn't a regular show, but more of a special address, a unique opportunity, I'll say. It's a message from a friend of mine, a friend of the show, that I felt was so powerful that in order to do it justice, I think it just needs to stand alone. And my prayer for you is this, that you will be blessed by her words and that, God willing, her message will reach the hearts of the people who really need this truth right now. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I have peace that that will happen and that you also will be moved to pray for my friend and keep praying for their family and all of those who are deep in the valley of grief right now. I'd also ask you to lift up our Podbean patron friend Ken as well, and so many others, that the Lord knows their names and their needs. So just to get you up to speed, last year, if you're a regular listener, you may remember me telling you about my dear friend Jen and the Gerber family. Mom, Jen, pregnant with baby number 5 at the time. Dad, Chad, a professor of theology. It's just a beautiful family, homeschooling family. And then on October 31st, it was a Saturday, Evie, their 11-year-old daughter, had a piano recital and she performed her piece beautifully, stood up to take a bow, and then she collapsed and died suddenly. And it was a scene, as you can imagine, was unimaginable. And for the people there in the audience, including her siblings that were present to witness this, to the people who performed CPR, there were a few moms that stepped in and as best they could frantically tried to perform CPR. And then to her mother and father, Jen and Chad, who said goodbye to their little girl in an emergency room as Dad Chad was on his knees, Mom Jen holding her little girl's hand on a day that was scheduled to be filled with trick-or-treating and family time. And the day before, she had dressed as St. Clair of Assisi, and it was an All Saints party, and she had gone to confession recently as well. And I remember sharing this with you, which was not an easy thing to do, but God bless you for your compassion and your prayers, because so many of you, in your grace, in your heart, reached out and offered prayers for the family, beautiful words of comfort that I know has meant so much to the family. And I think we can all recognize how extraordinary the life of this little girl, Evelyn, was. And after reading a little bit of her obituary with you, you recognized it as well. So that's what Jen wanted to address today. She took the time to write down some words, I know illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and wanted to just share that with you, her gratitude, your kindness, and also how they're doing right now. And just to get you up to speed, I think I shared the update at the time, but that next month after the death, the passing of Evie, Jen, pregnant, who wasn't due until January, ended up getting a kidney stone, and that got her really sick. It went into pneumonia, and so then that prompted a premature labor and delivery. She gave birth to their son, Gabriel, who was born premature at 32 weeks, and it's just been a very intense time. I mean, you think about not only the emotional and spiritual anguish of losing a child, but then all the physical aspects where there was a point where her life was in jeopardy. So it's been such a frantic plea of just prayer. And now that the dust has settled a little bit, Jen was kind enough to share with us how she's doing, taking us kind of into the inner chambers of her heart to see what the Lord is doing in this broken, sword-pierced space of her soul right now. So I encourage you to listen to this. I know that there's a message for each one of you who has taken the time to download this episode, and also maybe even listen more than once if you can, because I just think that her words, I know, are articulated in such an eye-opening and beautiful way. So here is my friend, Jen Gerber, as she says thank you and how they're doing today. Take a listen.
I know a lot of people have been praying for us, and some of the questions that I get are, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? I don't know what to do or say, and I wish I could take the pain away from you. And my answers to these questions and these responses can vary from moment to moment. My emotions can swing literally from one extreme to another within a matter of minutes. It's impossible to really articulate in words the intensity and pain of grief that you feel when you lose a child. I'm not sure there's any greater pain. I've been listening to a lot of hymns lately, and one of my favorite albums right now is the Chris Rice album entitled Peace Like a River. It's the Hymns Project. And the song Rock of Ages has become kind of a theme song for me. And my favorite verse says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." What I really love about that verse is that it perfectly articulates my human frailty and the position in which extreme suffering and anguish places the soul. At the foot of the cross, helpless, completely abandoned, naked, waiting for healing, empty. Often I can utter little more than a cry for help to Jesus. My prayers are not long or elaborate. Occasionally I remember to offer up my suffering for the salvation of souls and unite myself to the Blessed Mother, who also knows the loss that I feel. Most of the time, though, I simply groan at the foot of the cross. I'm waiting in the darkness and the pain. But yet I do not despair, and I'm not hopeless. Even as Jesus' Holy Mother held his lifeless body in her arms, she had hope as I do in the resurrection. I know that I will see my beautiful daughter again, and that will be the most glorious day of my life. I have hope that our good Lord will heal my heart and soul and flood me with his peace. But right now the wound is open and the blood is pouring out. When I was sick and in the hospital recently, all I could think about was my physical pain. People would come to visit, text, and call. I was vaguely aware of their presence, but I was so intensely focused on how my body was feeling that I could think of little else. I knew that the pain would eventually subside, but my mind was in a fog, and I could only see what was in front of me. Now that I'm recovered, the memory of the pain has faded. This has become sort of a metaphor for my grief. Right now I'm living the intense pain. My mind is foggy. I'm aware of the prayers and help that I receive from others, but I can't begin to wrap my mind around it, or even to be properly grateful. I know that someday the pain will fade. I have no expectations for when that might happen, and honestly, I'm not ready to let it go. Right now, my pain keeps me connected to my daughter and the hope of heaven, and draws me into the heart of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. After all, as my friend Martha reminded me, Jesus wept for his friend Lazarus. He felt the deep pain of loss on this earth. The pain is very real and very deep, even with the hope of resurrection so close on the horizon. Rest assured that your prayers are being answered. Your prayers were answered for my physical healing and for our baby boy Gabriel. I'm well, and Gabriel's growing chubbier by the hour, it seems. He has no apparent health problems, and he's home and thriving. And there is still hope in our hearts. We have moments of consolation. Jesus is drawing us near to him. He has his arms wrapped around us in an embrace. He is loving us every time someone brings us a meal, cries with us, hugs us, and prays for us. Saint Teresa of Avila famously stated, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless men now." We would appreciate your continued prayers for healing, for wisdom in helping our children through their grief, for the gift of faith for our oldest son, and healing from mental anguish. Please pray for the physical protection of our other children as we await the results of genetic testing on our daughter Evelyn and ourselves. Pray that we might not live in fear, but rather trust in the protection of our God and abandon ourselves to his will. Pray that we might not despair, but continue to hope and rest in him. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. May God bless you for every prayer, sacrifice, and gift.
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, or I die.
Psalm 139 reminds us that darkness is all around me, but even the darkness is not dark to Him. And that's what I love about the Psalms. They are the fabric of our feelings in so many ways. And this verse, to me, imparts the power of the resurrection, and that is our strength. And I love, how can you even say anything after Jen's message? How can I add anything more to that other than just to say amen and cry with her? But as I listen to her, I just think, how in the world can she even get through that? And in the tragedy and this, to keep your sanity. But I know, as all of us who are marked with the sign of the cross and by our baptism brought into this beautiful family of God, it is supernatural. And that's what I think is so amazing. You can see that, you can hear it, that God is with her through this grace, and that she has been an earmarked recipient of the Spirit who resurrected Christ Himself and pouring out that Spirit on her. And I love that she has immediate access to that power, as we all do. And I think we need to be reminded of that. In our weakest moments, then we are strong, even if we can't feel it. And like she said, even if we are just groaning at the foot of the cross, that there is a fellowship of suffering that presses our hearts together as one and unites it to the life-giving grace of Christ. And I was thinking about this. How can I conclude the show after that? How can I say anything more than what she's added? And I just think about the story of my friend and so many that you hear about, you may know, you may be themselves who have experienced such tremendous loss. And in Jen's case, I can't help but think of the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary and a quite symbolically tangible way that Jen had pilgrimage to the Holy Land just months before she had lost her daughter, not knowing obviously at the time what was to come. This daughter that was perfectly healthy, had no previous health or heart issues whatsoever. And here was Jen at the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ spoke the words, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done." She walked the Via Dolorosa, which Mary encountered her son and witnessed his suffering. She was physically at Golgotha, where our Savior said to the good thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But I think this foreshadowing her life and all of our lives, we've seen it, we've felt it. Maybe you're thinking of those moments right now. It is so significant because the cross is where we die, but also where we are born, the work of our salvation. And that is where we can rise renewed. And I so much appreciate Jen's words because it is such a powerful witness to that. So thank you to my friend Jen for her powerful words. And I see that image of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Jesus in the temple, and Simeon saying, "A sword shall pierce your own soul too," because I don't know of a better description that can suffice when you lose a child, I imagine, than that of a sword piercing the very heart of a mother. So that we all might have that courage, I pray. I thank you, Jen, for that. And I know it's not easy. And, you know, like I shared with Jen yesterday, I just feel like those words are from a purgative fire that was burned on her soul through suffering, but yet gives off a light that is radiant when you hear her, when you see her, the power of all who encounter her to see Christ and what He's doing in this dark, dark valley. And I just pray that we all may kiss that cross like Christ did, because that can be only described, I feel, as an act of supernatural grace. As we conclude the show, I just want to share a thought for each and every one of you listening, and I pray that it will be a candle for you. and light that candle in remembrance of those that we love and miss. It says this, the faces of your loved ones are the windows of their souls and are in turn indelibly imprinted upon your soul. Allow their faces, which by death are now perpetually youthful, to become a holy threshold over which you can cross in good grief to be united with them. This can become a lifelong sacrament of bereavement, of oneness, until you finally join your beloved deceased in the ecstasy of eternal love. Amen. And how blessed are we to be counted among those we call Christians. And we know the power of everlasting glory. May we all live with that promise of hope and grace in our lives. Thank you for being part of this installment of Good Things Radio today. A special thanks to my dear friend Jen Gerber for sharing her beautiful words with us. Until next time, friends, God bless you and keep you in the palm of His hand.